we'll be looking at the Bible. And I know for some of us, if I was to say turn to the book of Nahum, one, it would be very difficult to find, and two, who on earth is Nahum? Habakkuk and Obadiah and... The Bible, we know John, and we know a few of the Gospels, but what's the Bible about? And we're going to discover that, really. It'll encourage you just to read it and understand it. Now, to help us with this course, they have produced this beautiful booklet, and what's going to happen is, I'm going to just put it on that table. I want you, as I'm speaking, just... not talking, but just quickly flick through it, then pass it to the next table, so that you all get a good look at this. They are $4.99. You don't have to buy it. It will help you as you go through the series, but seriously, you don't have to buy it. If you do want it, I've showed this to my home group, so my home group have already had a look at it, and we've already had some orders in for it. So please, this is not to push you to buy it. This is just to simply say, this is what the course is all going to be about. It's very useful for children as well, because I want children to read the Bible, and we need to get children's Bible for children, get an illustrated Bible for children. We need the children to know the Word of God. Bible is exciting. You know, when I was a child, Liesl, not so many years ago, it was all these and thous. Thou shalt, and he begat him, and her begat her, and she begat him, and it was thous and these and all of this. And I know for some of you, Mary's it was even worse, because Mary's, it wasn't, the Bible wasn't written. But and nowadays we've got modern translations, haven't we? You know, we've got so many modern translations now, we don't have to go into the King James as it was as formerly. I like the Message, because it's just about down my street. You know, the Message is quite simple. So I'm going to start by putting it on Janice's table. As I say, it's not to talk. Please don't talk, because we are doing the Message. But there it is. Then you pass it on to Sarah, then to David, and etc. So till we've all had a chance to have a look at that book. So I hope you got my text about the video. So, in case you didn't get my text, because I'm not sure how many people are getting texts and how many people... The thing about texts are, they're informal, aren't they? You have to hope people get them. Oh, by the way, Sarah, do you want me to introduce you to your friend? Is it a friend?
It's my sister.
It's your sister?
Well, it's my mum.
It's your mum?
Yeah.
Well, she's a friend, I hope, then.
Yeah.
So, what's her name?
Christine.
Well, I won't... Oh, not another one. Let's give Christine a great big hand. It's a real pleasure, Christine, for you to see me, and my name is Edward, and it's great to have you back. How's your boy?
He's fine.
Has he finished university?
Yeah.
So is he working?
Not yet, he's in year out.
Oh yeah, what is it? We pay 3 years university for them, and then they take a year out. Listen, my goddaughter, she's in New Zealand, she's taking a year out. You know, but they're not shy, still wanting some money. Well, that's another story. But listen, if you haven't had a chance of the video, relax. And if you didn't receive my text, please let me know. If you don't want to give me your mobile number, that's fine. But if you are missing out on texts, please let me know. Here's the video, really just to launch what we hope is going to be something exciting.
The Bible course is an accessible way for anyone to explore the world's bestseller. The Bible course is for you. Filmed on location and in a purpose-built studio, the Bible course consists of 8 interactive sessions through the whole Bible story, from the first book, Genesis, to the last book, Revelation. Each session combines video teaching, group discussion, personal reflection, and daily reading. Bring God's Word to life by running the Bible course in your setting.
So what I've done because I want people to have a look at that book, I'm doing an introduction which is not part of this. I've just created an introduction this morning, and then it gives people a chance if they do want it, so that when we launch the course next month in March, people will have had an opportunity. Okay, pencil and papers. Where's Christine? It's a bit of a quiz for you here. Just to see, it's not a trick question, just to see if, just to see how far you switched on here. Don't open your Bibles and start counting them. So how many books is there? How many is in the Old Testament? How many is there in the New Testament? There are no prizes because you probably all know it. So just have a guess. Just have a guess how many books there is. How many books do you think, guys, there is? Have you done it, guys? Yeah. How many books is there? Hello, John. I didn't see you there, young man. Right. So, okay. Right. So first, have you all done it? Because it doesn't take that long. I don't know about you, how many fingers you have. Sarah, did you open your Bible?
No.
No, you didn't. That's all right, Sarah. It was just a question. Now, Joy will know this. I cannot believe Joy won't know this. She's probably... No, Joy's 19. She's probably read it once. But I'm not going to put her on the spot. I'm going to put my wife on the spot.
Oh.
Right? And that's only because I pre-warned her. Because, listen...
Anyway...
It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living wife. So how many books is there? Just how many books?
66.
Clickety-click, 66. Now I'm going to ask Mandy, how many Old Testament books is there?
39.
Anybody agree with Mandy?
Yes.
Mandy's got it off. I knew she would. Okay, now then... If you can't divide minus 39 by 66, you're not very bright, are you? So I won't ask Emma. Sorry, who said that? Listen, how many New Testament books are they? So, that's right, clickety-click 66. Now, if I was to seriously ask you, how many people have actually gone through the whole of the Bible? Okay? How many remembers when they got through the Bible and hadn't got a clue where they'd start, yeah? Be honest, yeah. And when you start reading the Leviticus, you need more than the Bible if you're going to start reading Leviticus. Dear me. And sometimes we think the Bible is hard to understand, and we have to remember the Old Testament really is just a story and a history of God forming a nation. That nation's called?
Israel.
And then in the second half, the New Testament, it's not about the story of a nation, it's about the story of a king called... But they're both interwoven together. You see, that's how some people split the Bible up. Okay? Some people have it with the law, 5 books, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Now, anybody know who wrote them? It's Moses. Then we have historical books. In other words, we've got the history of the nation of Israel from the moment they tried to go into the promised land to conquer the land that God has given them. And that's called history. And it goes from Joshua right through to Esther. Problem is with the book of Esther, Esther's really at the end of the Old Testament. Chronologically, the Bible doesn't fit in exactly as we'd flow. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because Esther really is right before the New Testament begins, about 400 years before the New Testament begins. And it's very difficult. And oh, it's, you know, it really is. I mean, Ruth, for instance, Ruth's book really is in the book of Judges. Because that's when she lived. She lived in the time of Judges. Then we have the 5 poetry books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. How Job can be a book of poetry, I have no idea. Then we have the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Then we have the minor prophets, and these are the guys that you've probably never heard of. Zephaniah. And then, of course, there's the Gospels, which we all know. Then the history, not of the nation. You remember the history over here, the Old Testament? Well, the church has got a history. It's in the book of Acts. Find out the book of Acts. That's my one of my favourite books. It tells us how the birth of the church. And then we've got Paul's letters to all the churches he formed. And then his letters to his big friends, Timothy, Titus and Philemon. They were close friends of Paul. Four personal letters. And then we have Hebrews, who nobody knows, the book of James, then 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and the book that everybody understands word by word, Revelations. Clearest book in the Bible, isn't it? Clearest book. That's what we have. Now that's one way of looking at it, but that's not the way we're going to do it. This is how we are going to do it. Who's got the book? Who's got the book?
Georgina.
I love the colour again today.
Thank you.
I come to church every week. I want to see the colours. Every time I look at you, I think, you know, that's what I could be if my wife would let me. So you and Simi.
Do it.
You and Starchwa. Listen, it's going to be a lovely way of how we do the boot. Right. The word testament comes from a Latin word, testamentum. And it simply means a binding agreement between two people. So, the word testamentum is simply a covenant between two people. God gave Abraham a covenant. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you all this land. It was God's agreement with our rules and regulations. And if they didn't fulfill, God had every right to say, I'll cancel the covenant, I'll cancel the agreement. So, that's all it is. Now, in the Old Testament, the covenant was with God and the law. In other words, God said to the children of Israel, Lisa, if you don't steal, and if you don't bear false witness, and if you do this and you do that, you and I have got a covenant agreement. What do you think? Do you think Lisa... Well, she broke it, didn't she? And what I'm saying, God says, listen, you broke the agreement. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. God had every right to break the pact, the agreement. Did God break his agreement? No, God fulfilled everything that he said he'd fulfill. So that in relationship, the old covenant was the holiness of God through law. New Testament one. It's changed. What's the change between the two covenants? The law's been cancelled. Jesus has taken its place. That's the great news, isn't it? In other words, my covenant relationship now, Liesl's covenant relationship has changed. Although she's still got to keep the law, her covenant relationship isn't hanging on that law. God still expects her to keep it, but what he's saying is, I know, Liesl, you can't be good. I know that. It's just an impossibility. So he said, listen, I'm sending Jesus. Jesus is going to take the place of the law. The Christian faith is based simply that we put our faith in Jesus to give us that binding agreement. Your faith has got to hang on that there is a covenant relation. The Bible describes it like this. So Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And therefore, through Christ, we all have faith. If you've never taken that step, then we don't have a covenant relationship with God. It's no longer based on how good I can be, no good on how many tasks I achieve, it's no good on trying to get God to love me anymore, because God can't love you any more than he loves you now. He doesn't love you anymore, and he doesn't love you any less. He just loves you because God is consistent, isn't he? Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's going to love you today, and he's going to love you tomorrow. And it isn't dependent upon how good you are. We need to understand this. He loves us the same. The same. Not a minus, not a plus. The same. But my covenant relation must be through Jesus. And that's where the great news is. So, how did the Old Testament come? Well, it was first of all written by Moses. Now, Moses lived in a land called Mesopotamia. Big name. I lived in a place called Hetenly Hall. Oh, I used to be embarrassed when I used to say that. Fancy being called Hetenly Hall. Yeah, fancy. Where do you come from? Hetenly Hall. No, it's not what he grew up. So I used to say County Durham. That was my county. But here, Moses did the Old Phoenician alphabet. And this alphabet only had 22 letters in it. So that's quite good. You didn't have to learn 26, just 22. And you know something? It had no vowels in it. So your next quiz is to write me now a sentence in a minute with no vowels. Can you write me a sentence with no vowels? I mean, is there a word with no vowels in it? Can you think of a word with no vowels?
Sky.
Sky. Oh, I've got one. Sky TV. Is that a sentence? Door, there's my wife. That's not a proper word. Sky is a proper word.
TV isn't.
Charlotte, sky. Now, what else is there a proper... Who?
Where the pigs live, sky.
There's no call to be offensive.
Prism.
Sorry?
Prism.
You're in prison?
No, prism.
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 So how do we put prism, star, and sky together? What prism?
P-R-Y-Z-Y-M.
I think we should move on. Difficult though, isn't it, Dawn? Isn't it difficult to have no vowels? Let's read Isaiah 19:18. In that day there will be five cities in the land of Egypt that speak the language of what?
Canaan.
So that was how they spoke. They spoke the language of Canaan, taken from this old Phoenician alphabet. So the Old Testament was mainly written from that, except there are a few chapters in Ezra and one in Daniel and in Jeremiah, which was written in another language, children, called Aramaic. And this language became very popular, and it actually displaced all the other languages around. In fact, it was so popular that Jesus used it. And it was probably the language that Jesus used in his day. So, the Old Testament was written in this old Phoenician alphabet with a little bit of Aramaic. The New Testament is written with a little bit of Aramaic, mainly written in Greek, because that's the language that overcame. So can you say the Bible is a mixture of languages, isn't it? It's a mixture of languages. It's also a mixture of customs. And you know what I'm saying? Because, I don't know what about you, but we now live in a diverse cosmopolitan world, don't we? Well, our cultures are different, aren't they? All our cultures are different. And so, the Bible is no different. There's lots of different cultures. And there's at least three different languages for the New Testament. So, what do you think, children, Moses wrote his books on? What did Moses carry down from the mountain? Tablets of stone. So, let's put that up. Stone, the Ten Commandments. So Moses, or God, wrote on the Ten Commandments, which is written in stone. But the most of your Bible was written in leather. It was a material. In fact, the Jewish Talmud for the transmissions of scriptures required it. In other words, children, they used to get this long piece of leather and then they used to write on it. And it was huge. It wasn't a book. And it would go from here right over here. It just used to carry on. And then what they used to do was get two sticks at the end, right, together, and then rolled it up and they called it a scroll. And here's a picture of it. There is a picture. Can you see how big the scrolls are at each end, Owen? And they would roll that out as they were reading it. Okay, you have a book. In fact, most of it on an iPod. How many have got a Bible on an iPod or an iPhone? Or yeah, great, isn't it? Great, you can just quickly go on your iPod or your iPhone and quickly do it. So can you see how the Bible has gone from a big, big scroll to Bible app? And do you know something, children? People were paid to do nothing else but write the Old Testament out. It's writing it out every day. That was their job. And you know what they did when they got to the end of it? They sent them back to do it again. And the whole of their life, that's why there are so many Old Testament manuscripts. Because the religious leaders of Israel said, we need to preserve our history. And so how can we teach our children unless we have something written down? So children, somebody would write it out. And you know what? There are very few mistakes. Think about it. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts and there are very few errors. They were very particular. Very, very particular. Now then, how do you put a bookshelf up? What do you need to put a bookshelf up? You need wood, brackets. Ah, who said that? You see, Rob's, you can tell Rob's a builder. He is Bob the Builder. And what? And get a spirit level. Why does he need a spirit level? That's right, to make sure. So once he's got his first bit of wood on, right, gets his spirit level, so he makes sure it's level so that when he puts his next piece up, it's going to be... You see, I tried that with wallpaper. And I started on my spirit level. The end, though, when I got up to five sheets, was like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Something went wrong. And my father-in-law had to come down and wallpaper for me. Embarrassing, isn't it? First thing he said was, that doesn't look very straight. I drew a black line down the wallpaper and realised I shouldn't have drawn a line on the wallpaper. That was a big mistake. So I don't wallpaper. Don't wallpaper. It's not my gift in Liesl. My wife never asks me to wallpaper again. Do it badly once and they never get it done again. It's the secret of life with a married. Anyway, so the spirit level is an important piece of equipment if you want to have your house built. And what they did was, they said God, they said the scriptures every book can only be put in the Bible if we believe it's God ordained. It's God ordained. That's our spirit level. Is this book God ordained? And Book of Jonah didn't go in. The Book of Enoch didn't go in. The Book of Adam didn't go in. Their books weren't included. In fact, they weren't going to put Hebrews in. But they decided in the end to do that. And the first century Christians got together and prayed and prayed and prayed. God, would you show us which book is divinely inspired by God? And that is why Mary read all scripture, we believe is inspired by
God.
Divinely inspired. In other words, the writers always said, we don't believe we just wrote out of our own thoughts. We believe God dropped the thoughts into our heart and we wrote. That's what it means. We believe God inspired us. And we believe that that is the authoritative word of God. So it's not a cannon which you shoot out like an army. It's canon of scripture means a spirit level keeps every book ordained by God. So let's read that together. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Let's stop. So why is there a canon of scripture? It's to make us realize when we've done right and when we've done wrong. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, so it predicts and tells us, otherwise it's like a book. Okay, so that's the first thing we need to understand, is why you should be reading your Bible. Because it's telling you what is right and what is
wrong.
Because you can't live your life if you don't know what is right and wrong, can you? So the Bible is God's book and help us. Now let's start. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare. So not only does it help us how to live our lives, but it wants to equip you. It wants to build you up. It wants to help you. That's why you need to know the Bible, because it will help you to do the job that God has for you in your work business, in your farms, in your office. Wherever you are, the Bible is the inspiration. There's a great man of God. He's paid thousands of pounds by business people to go in and solve their business problems. So if their business isn't doing very well, he goes in and he sorts it out. He's also written his Bible, called John Maxwell. He's one of the great teachers of God. And every business that he goes in and then brings it back to level and then helps to make profit is all based on scripture. He's put the biblical principles in place for that organization. John Maxwell, read him up on the internet. Because he knew that if he wanted to be successful in business, or business people to be successful, they needed to do what God says. God says. So he would go and apply principles into ordinary businesses and say, this is where I think you should go. This is what I think you should do. These are the practices you should employ. Do you know what? He's been hugely successful. Because there's nothing better than applying God's rules in your business. For instance, everyone should pay their taxes. If you're asking for money so that you don't have to claim that through the tax, that's a discredit to God, by the way. It's a discredit to God. The Bible says, pay unto Caesar what is...
Yes.
Doesn't he? Now, I'm not saying, you know, if you're going deliberately looking for loopholes, there's something wrong. Now, if the government says you can get 10%, Eddie, for the paper that you use, then that's okay, then I can claim 10%. But if I say I'm working from home every day, and I claim 100% working from home when I'm in this office, that's a discredit to... It's a discredit to God, isn't it? Because actually, it's a lie, isn't it? And you've got to put biblical principles in. And John Maxwell's been very, very successful. Because he understands that if we are trying to equip his people to do good works, you've got to read your Bible, Margaret. You've got to understand your Bible, haven't you? You can't live your life without understanding. So the Old Testament claimed over 3,300 times to be right in God's Word. Think about it. 3,300 times they say, God told me, the Lord said, the Lord spoke. They believe it's the inspired word of God because they believe they actually heard God speaking to them and they wrote it down. That's the canon, that's the rule. So when I'm excited about that, because when I read my Bible, I'm saying I believe that God has actually spoken this word. Not Peter, not James, not John, but God has spoken this word. And if God has spoken this word, that's good news for me. So I'm trying to encourage you why we need to do our Bible. Do you listen to this video, because we're almost finished, for cake and coffee and carrot cake. Now then, they are going to show you a video why we need to do the Bible. I want you to write down and listen to the word, Owen, influence. And every time you heard the word influence, listen to what this video says has been influenced and write it on your piece of paper. From this video, write it down. That's the picture that we've been looking, and we will look at that. Can you see now what it means by inspired? Christopher Wren designed St. Paul's, but hundreds of people had to build it. God inspired the word and people wrote the scriptures, and that's just a light way. So these are the things you should have, Rob. Could you put it on? These are the answers you should have had. Come on, I mean, pop musicians still sing, don't they? So how many of you got some of them? You got them all. Amber got them all. David got them all. June got them all. That's great. We're going to finish now. Oh, they got them all. Great. We now just got to finish with a song as we take up our offering. So I hope you're going to come on this amazing journey. It has been a long introduction this morning. That's just to get us started. And every so often, we're not going to do this every week. We're just going to do it every so often. And hopefully, we will be inspired. That's the word, inspired. The first word he used when that video clip was, when your perspective changes. And that's the word God gave me. And I told you that last year at our AGM. The word God impressed upon my heart this year was the word perspective. And when our perspective changes, that the word of God is inspired by him, I believe we should be reading it and want to read it. So let's, Simon, let's sing our final song as we go. And if you do want to buy the booklet, it is $4.99, by the way. It's $4.99 for the book.